Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds of the magazine. Round number one.
What the show?
The Navy and Coast Guard teamed up to rescue over 1,100 sea turtles down in Texas who are experiencing a little bit of shell shock from the cold. Round number two, a new rover landed on Mars, and now we can see and hear what the planet is like. It's only a matter of time until the Marine Corps makes it a training base up there. That video, eerie.
Very weird.
Eerie. And that's also, I don't care about Mars. I don't care.
Whoa. Like,
I don't care about it. If Mars, get it out of my face. I don't care what's going on Mars. There's nothing going on Mars. It's just a big, dumb thing.
You better hope we don't need to get up there for survival. They're going to remember that. Mars is going to remember.
I'll tell you this right now. I'd rather kill myself than live on Mars.
Whoa.
Wow. Starting hot just, on a...
Yeah.
My goodness.
I got to tell the listener, I've been feeling sick. I'm probably going to be a little ornery today. It's going to be fine. We're going to get through it. But I might say some things that I regret. Round number four. Nope. As you were. Round number three. Wow, that was a very smooth as you were. I haven't done that in a long time.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you very much. Round number three, talk show host Greg Kelly goes after Biden's dog for looking too mangy in the White House. Greg Kelly, you better leave those fucking dogs alone. Champ is a good boy. You better take it back. Round number four, this year marks the 75th anniversary of the Nuremberg convictions. And what better way to showcase that than saying, Avidazan, bitch, to a Nazi found living in Tennessee. Also, I would have never guessed, Kate put this in the sheet, I would have never guessed that's how you spelled Avidazan.
No.
Me neither. It looks like that's off weeder he's in.
Yeah. So the listener, if you've never seen Avidazan spelled out, AUFWIEDERSEHEN.
And phonetically, even, that is what,
promo
Kate?
Code ZBT.
Yeah, go ahead and spell that out phonetically, Kate.
No, we don't have the time.
We don't have time.
That's too many letters.
Yeah, we could have done it just off, but not the Virazen part. Like, that's just going to take too long. German, it'll get you. Round number five, I have a special round where we're going to talk about what features make dudes hot. And all that's going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3G. 3G is providing also on my timeline late night Pangea tweets, which has been a good time. Yeah. 3G is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. All products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA Grow Hemp. It has Delta 8 as the first federally legal version of THC. It is the more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel with a clear head, less anxiety and paranoia. It's available at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com at retailers around the country. You must be 21 to purchase. And remember, this is not CBD. It's psychoactive. It'll give you a buzz. So do it responsibly. Don't 3chi and drive. Don't want to do that, but we do want you to go to ZBT, use the promo code ZBT2021. You're going to receive 5% off at your checkout. Again, go to 3chi.com in the promo code ZBT2021. You're going to love that. I recommend there's a Purple Haze one. There's also one that's a London Pound Cake, which is delicious. They have one that has a strawberry. And if you like to just, if you don't want to do the vaping or anything like that, get the black, I think it's the blackberry. Maybe it's the watermelon. No, the blackberry gummies late at night. Ooh. Just pop one of those bad boys in and you'll be sleeping your little baby head off. Oh, by the way, I'm watching this new show on Apple TV. Unbelievable insult. It's called Search Party, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It has the woman who played Mabel on Arrested Development, and there's like all these different characters, and one of them is like walking through this hallway in New York. They live in Brooklyn, and he hears almost like a domestic disturbance going on. So he knocks on the door and he's like, hey, I just want to make sure that you're okay, because it's the woman answering the doors, and she's like, you shut the fuck up, you baby cock bitch. I could smell your little dick from here. And I was like, man, she must be a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hell yeah.
I love that. Baby cock bitch is a good insult.
It really is. That stings a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, no disrespect to all those micropenes out there. You're a person.
No disrespect.
Despite what the rumors are, you are a person.
And no disrespect to my baby. He'll have a great
Maybe. Oh, I think it's okay if you're a baby to have a baby
right.
cock. I don't
He's
think that. I don't think that's the ex. That's the expectation.
Right. That's it's not his fault.
Don't shame him for that, Kate.
Mm-hmm. No.
That'll really scar him.
Yeah. No, I won't. I won't say a word.
I mean, could you imagine laying there and having like your parents be like, "Whoa, look at your little dick, you pussy."
Yeah. No. Well, that's, we'll never do that. So, thank God.
I mean, he doesn't even have kneecaps. That'd be fucked up.
Right. He can't fight. He can't fight back.
Babies have 300 bones when they're born.
You have been three-chi goofing.
They do. Babies have 300 bones. People, grown folks, 206.
Whoa.
Somehow, from the time that you're a baby to when you're a full-grown human, you lose 94 bones.
Well,
what's that about?
I may be very wrong here, but aren't teeth bones?
No, that doesn't count. And they're not technically bones because they're made of dentin, is the type of material that they're made from.
Okay.
So what happens is some of the cartilage formations that are in a baby transition and become bone. So it's larger plates. But I mean, think about the way all the yoga essentially babies have to do to escape the vulva, which, lest we forget, is the entire pussy.
The whole pussy. Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I got the car. Chaps bought me a car seat stroller carrier combo, and it is all set up. The car seat is in. Pat and I were sitting down in the parking garage last night. I thought it was going to be a big fight. I feel like that's a traditional. It's like when a couple parks a boat and you know they're going to get in a fight. Mm-hmm. I thought this installing the car seat was just another classic. You can't escape it. But we got it in there, and I think we did it right. So
yeah, you have the little hooks in the back.
Got the little hooks in the back. It's
God,
set. So
those things are a pain when you have to like switch cars in and out. It's a fucking pain.
So I'm excited though. So that's all set. So that was like the last thing off the checklist. So when he's
you will definitely get car seat shamers because you're going to do something wrong and you'll post like a picture of your baby on the way home hospital or somebody be like, "Oh, you need to adjust those straps down. Oh, it's not." Shut up. Just shut up about it. Kate's doing the best she can.
Thank you. I was watching Three Men and a Baby last night.
What a classic.
Such a classic. People just kept hopping in cabs, holding the baby and putting the baby in the car trunk and putting the baby. Times have changed. We're at least we have a car seat now. So
what an apartment those gentlemen lived in. That's unbelievable.
What a fuck shack.
Seriously.
I also, because Kate's has some production skills and editing skills, you guys should do a new Barstool version of Look Who's Talking intro. Where you have like the baby has a voice, not Roseanne Barr. I don't think we want to use Roseanne Barr for that baby.
We moved on from Roseanne.
We
don't want to do Roseanne, but I think that would be an interesting video. Or you could just do a podcast from the perspective of your baby.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
We thought about having him host.
Yeah.
So we'll all right.
Because you'll end up talking for your baby. Did you do that, Kyle? Where when your baby's born, you like say things that you think it's thinking and that you'll like talk to it back and forth and have like a dialogue with yourself?
Usually when one of them was crying and I was just over it, I'd be like, "All right." And then I'd be like, "Oh, fuck you, Dad. I'm not going to stop crying for hours."
Yeah, exactly.
It's 3 in the morning. Go
bring
fuck
me some
yourself.
Of that milk, you bitch. You little bit. My kids are mean to me, essentially.
Yeah.
I deserved it. All right, let's get started with the show. Here's some music. Little Tuesday now. Last Tuesday, very different from this Tuesday. All the snow is gone. Texas is back and normal. We didn't have trash pickup for 2 weeks, so we got my street essentially looks like New York City right now. There's just piles and piles of trash down the sidewalks everywhere, and people are trying to get rid of it. It's been a nightmare to get through, but I feel bad for a lot of these folks. Did you guys see the news that because Texas relies on its own grid, the power companies are all private run and they don't have like much state regulation?
Mm-hmm.
There's people here that had $16,000 power bills.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know how, as a business, you can do that and sleep at night, right? Like, I don't know how you
they're happy about it, dude. Like, they were like, "This is what capitalism is."
No,
like,
bullshit.
This is,
that's
this
not
is,
how
this
our
is,
companies
this, are happy. This is free market. This is the free market. That's what happens.
I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration. And
huge
taking,
exaggeration.
I mean, that's taking the spirit of capitalism to a whole new level that isn't actually capitalism. And it's just greed and disgusting and abhorrent that you would do this to people. Because there's not many people who can just, $16,000. Yeah, I'll just write a check for $16,000.
Yeah,
that's a significant amount of money.
because they have like this thing where you can pay less money in like a variable rate power. And people were saying, oh, you didn't complain about the months that you got it lower. You're right. I didn't complain about the months where it wasn't $250. It was $210. Yeah. That's a big difference than it's supposed to be $240 and it's fucking 16 grand.
Yeah, crazy.
And then they came out and said, oh, well, we'll let you pay it over the course of 10 years. Fuck you, dude.
I'm moving. Thanks. I just wouldn't stay in Texas at that point.
Put it on my credit report. By the time that, it'll be 7 years from now and I didn't pay shit and it's gone anyways.
That's the way to go.
That's my advice to a Texan. If you are not planning on buying a house or something like that, just don't pay it. Mm-hmm. Don't pay it. Just leave. Then in 7 years, it's off your credit report. Who cares?
Yeah, that shit's crazy town. But
16 grand.
There is.
And one more thing before we transition, Kate.
Yes.
All these motherfuckers, Ted Cruz saying, how could this happen? Because of you. It happened because of you.
If it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Right. It's like that, the hot dog scene. And I
think you should leave.
Yeah. Where it's like, we're trying to find out who did this. You sued the federal government to get off the out of the regulations. That's why it happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, have you seen these people over the weekend? Now the conspiracies are starting, talking about Ted Cruz, that the snow is actually fake.
Yes.
And it was manufactured, mm-hmm. and they're out there with lighters and such. They're like, look, the snow's not melting. It's all fake. It's like,
burning.
Snow doesn't melt.
My favorite thing about Texans in this whole thing, Texans are so good at trolling politicians just because they don't give a fuck about the repercussions. Mm-hmm. Somebody hired a mariachi band to go outside of Ted Cruz's house so he could still feel like he was in Cancun.
That's brilliant. Oh my goodness. That's so brilliant.
And I there is one aspect about Ted Cruz that I feel bad for him about. He's a successful man, obviously. Like, he's a senator, like, has been a multi-term senator now. I think that means that you're successful. He is a lawyer and a very accomplished lawyer. His wife is a managing director at Goldman Sachs. But because they want to give off this everyday vibe, they don't live in a house of somebody who is that successful and a managing director of Goldman Sachs. So it's like you have all this money and you have to act like you don't, like you, because they are rich as shit and they're acting like they live in a normal, like, upper scale neighborhood, but not like anything insane that you normally get when you're a Goldman Sachs managing director.
No, certainly not. An MD is definitely not living in a, I guess we'll call it a shack. By no means, especially, you know, maybe it's a little bit relative.
Their house is still nice as shit, though.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I'm sure it's not terrible. But no. I'm sure, I wonder how much, where she's based out of. Because if she's not based in Texas, she's based somewhere else. It might even be that her money goes much further down in Texas. So
Could be. I know other people that do that same thing.
Well, all right. There is good stuff coming out of Texas. There's lots of nice things coming out of there, too. A lot of people helping each other out.
H-E-B.
What about H-E-B? I love H-E-B.
No, that's just what's good about Texas.
Oh, yeah, true. H-E-B. I used to love H-E-B.
And Buc-ee's is getting out of Texas, too, Kate. Your beloved Buc-ee's is moving on to different states. They're opening one in Florida soon.
I wouldn't be mad at a Buc-ee's. I feel like Wawa and Buc-ee's could exist as friends.
They could coexist very much. Yeah. They could be pals on the corners. But so real quick, H-E-B story. The H-E-B where I lived in Harker Heights, it was, the parking lot was on a hill. So basically every time I would park at the bottom just so that when I would come out with my groceries, I could ride the cart down the parking lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just as like, oh, that's fun. And
did you start forward or backwards?
Forward.
Oh, you guys start backwards, but then you do a spin around.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That's rookie a little mistake.
Yeah, that's true. My bad. But so so then one day I get called into my battalion commander's office, because I would often do this right after work, so I'd be in uniform. I get called into my commander's office and he's like, hey, did I see you riding a cart in the HGV parking lot?
In uniform?
In uniform. I go, yeah, that was probably me, sir. He goes, yeah, don't do that again. All right.
I thought he was going to tell you where a glove up.
Wear a helmet next time. Yeah, no. But so I always remember
your
that.
Your fucking glove up.
So whenever I did it.
Your eyebrow.
Yeah.
So that's my HGV story.
All right, but let's get into what's actually happened down here in Texas, because this story, it's one of the only, even though it's bad, it's still a feel-good story.
It's a feel-good story from Gina Harkins at military.com. Service members have been helping their neighbors through a crisis in Texas this week, including hundreds of reptiles who were left helplessly bobbing in cold water after unusually freezing weather crippled the state. Navy Captain Christopher Jason, he's commanding officer over at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, he was assessing problems on base because of the storm when they noticed, like, a bunch of people started noticing, like, man, all these turtles are, like, just kind of frozen floating. All these birds are falling out of
trees. People are saying that the Gulf of Mexico is essentially the world's biggest turtle gazpacho soup.
Basically, yeah. So all these frozen turtles. So they started noticing, like, people like him started noticing these reptiles are cold stunned. So Coast Guard Petty Officer Second Class Russell Grizzard, great name, he noticed, he's one of three Coastie rescue swimmers who later dove into the near-freezing water to find turtles and bring them to safety. Most of the turtles could barely move or keep their heads above water and would have drowned if we didn't get to them, he said. When the turtles first turned up Tuesday, Jason, the Captain Jason we were talking about, he grabbed his kayak, just started paddling around and plucking turtles out of the water and putting them on the side of the, on the lakeside. He loaded a few into his kayak, paddled back to shore with Will Bellamy, a fellow Army guy, and they started loading turtles into the truck. And this comes to the photo. There are places around these bases just covered in turtles now, just turtles on sheets. What began as a small operation later turned into a massive volunteer effort as hundreds of sea turtles began appearing near the air station. Do you think they had a little, like, Lance Corporal Turtle wireless, like, head over to the air station, bro, with your last bit of energy. They're getting us.
The only thing I kept thinking of is when Forrest keeps going back into the jungle to get people and, like, carrying them out.
There's a little Forrest Gump turtle dragging them over to the air station.
Every time I went back to look for Bubba.
Hey, Forrest.
Well, word got out that this air station was saving turtles, and people started...
I want to go home.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Word spread on social. Sorry I ruined your green turtle party. anyway.
I think you should go back home to Greenbow, Alabama, where it's warm, because you're cold-blooded.
So I started paddling. By Friday morning, the volunteers...
And that pinko communist Johnson.
Ah, it's just a stupid war.
Possum taught me to dangle. Anyway, word spread on social media, and by Friday morning, I'm afraid to keep talking because I know somebody's going to blurt another one out. By Friday morning, the volunteers had saved more than 1,100 of these turtles. Grizzard and Petty Officer 3rd Class Will Grosskreutz were the first two Coastie swimmers to show up on Wednesday to assist. Over the next few days, they saved 60 turtles the first day, then another 40 to 50 the next. Other volunteers were lowering laundry baskets onto the rocks just above the water so turtles could climb in and be raised above the seawall. And I bet, what song were they playing, chaps, as these turtles were airlifted in the baskets?
Welcome to the jungle!
Yeah, there was badass music playing. It was like a real helicopter rescue, but with sea turtles in laundry baskets.
Every time, what would you say if you were riding the kayak and you're picking up turtles and putting them in there? What would you say?
I don't know.
I would always talk to him like I was Master Splinter. Every time I went up to him, I'd pick up one and be like, Leonardo.
I bet there was a fair amount of that going on. I bet knowing these troops.
Leonardo. Raphael.
Well, about...
Michelangelo.
Go on, say the last name.
Donatello.
Yeah, there you go. Chaps would only rescue 4 turtles, and then he'd be like, well, yeah. I'm done.
Just 4 each time.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, and I'd be handing them over to a Lance Corporal, like, here's Leonardo, here's Donatello.
No, here comes that Ninja Turtles guy again with the basket.
Oh, Michelangelo, where's your fucking orange bandana?
Wife's at home on the sewing machine crafting tiny little eyes.
Oh, you don't have your purple little eye strap, I see. You're going to need a missing gear report.
Yeah, where's
that.
Your eye pro? There. Anyway, hundreds of turtles on these bases, and troops even volunteered to stay overnight with them and do little overnights to keep watch over them. Captain Jason, who scuba dives as well, said he was used to seeing turtles in the area but was shocked at the sheer number that were turning up. He was also impressed by the volunteers' ingenuity. They were forming human chains to reach the turtles, heading into the water with paddle boards. Like, people were, and it was freezing. It was fucking freezing. So people were going above and beyond to help these little animals out. I think if you feel helpless, if there's only so much you can do for the people around you at the time, like, you just want to do something. And this gave people something to do, which I'm sure the turtles were grateful. In hard times, the power of people to get together and to help out, whether it's a person in need or a creature, these amazing things can happen, he said. It was the power of the human spirit. A lot of people being selfless and doing something special and positive for these
little turtles.
I cannot
wait for these award ceremonies to happen where to all who shall see these presents, greetings, know ye that, and then they go into it and describing an unparalleled conditions in Texas from this date to this date, 1,100 turtles were saved by the ingenuity, stick-to-itiveness, and like all this stuff. And they're going to make it sound like the most fancy military shit ever. Yeah. In reality, it's just throwing some turtles into a kayak and sticking them under a light.
So there I was. Turtles? Yeah. So, yep.
They've reflected the very best the Coast Guard has to offer in these heroic actions.
Truly.
If they wanted to warm up, they could probably go to Mars, like in round number two, right, Kate?
Well, you're wrong, pal. Mars is colder than the U.S., buddy. But don't worry, we've got Mars facts in this story too.
Yeah,
so okay.
It's also bigger than Greenland.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
It is. Yeah, huge week this week. I watched it live on the TV while I was working from home. NASA scientists on Friday. Striking images started coming through. They landed the little Mars rover named Perseverance, including a selfie was taken of the six-wheeled vehicle dangling just above the surface of the red planet moments before touchdown.
Perseverance taught me how to dangle.
Yeah, the color photograph is likely to become an instant classic among memorable images from the history of spaceflight, and it was snapped by a camera mounted on the rocket-powered sky crane. The picture, looking down on the rover, shows the entire vehicle suspended from three cables unspooled from the sky crane, along with an umbilical communications cord, with swirls of dust coming up. Seconds later, the rover gently planted on its wheels, its tethers were severed, and the sky crane job completed, flew off to crash a safe distance away, though not before photos and other data were transmitted to the rover for safekeeping. This week, NASA hopes to present more photos and video, possibly with audio, taken by all six cameras affixed to the spacecraft, showing more of the sky crane maneuvers, as well as the supersonic parachute deployment that preceded it. It was crazy watching. They're like, everything looked so smooth, but these things were going like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour. This shit was happening like...
Yeah, I saw that whenever it was approaching to land, it was going 22,000 miles an hour.
What?
Yeah. So pretty fucking crazy, but they made it seem so smooth. And that is like pucker factor. You know your company has put like billions, maybe? Millions?
Yeah, I would say billions.
Yeah, billions for sure.
And you don't want to be the one that's like, oh, God.
I mean, if the fucking F-35 costs billions.
Yeah, seriously. And then,
but you don't want to be the one as this is starting to land to be like, oh, my God, did I leave that paperclip stuck in that one part of the rover? Oh, my God.
What if you're trying to land it with your, like, Xbox controller and you get a thumb cramp?
Exactly. So a lot of things to think about, a lot of things there. But it's always fun to watch them in the room cheering as something like that is successful. And I'm excited. Chaps, I can't believe your attitude about Mars is so upsetting to me. I feel like we used to have Martian... I feel like we had people hanging out up there. I feel like there's a mysterious Martian past we don't know.
See, I guess I don't care about what's going on in our solar system because we have good enough satellites to know where we know not a whole lot's going on any of these planets. I want to focus on stuff outside of our solar system. I want to find life. We have enough technology to know there is no life on Mars. And if there are, it's like little parasites and shit. Like it's nothing big. I want to go out and explore outside. You're wasting time. It's just, to me, it's like just hanging out. If I wanted to be an explorer and I'm going to go to fucking Dallas. Everybody knows what's going on in Dallas.
This is a good test run. At least we're learning how to land things and get things out there and do whatever.
Nah, I think I'm with Chaps. I think you're just giving them a lot of credit for something that's kind of really been done. We've had rovers up there before.
It's kind of like, to me, going to Mars is kind of like the difference between iPhone 5 and iPhone 7.
Right.
Sure, it has a little bit of battery. It might have a little bit of a camera, a couple more megapixels, but you're essentially getting the same thing.
Like, I've heard about Mars before. They filmed that entire movie with Matt Damon up there on Mars already. So, yep. I mean, come on.
He made poop potatoes.
Yeah, seriously. We're filming movies on Mars, Kate. Like, who cares?
What is wrong with you guys? I'm so upset by your Mars attitudes. Have a little more Mars enthusiasm.
I mean, I'll look at the pictures, but I'm not going to go crazy about them.
Yeah, listen, I'm not throwing...
I'll thumb through them, like if I was at, like, Supercuts or something.
I'll check it out, yeah, if I'm waiting at the doctor's office, but I'm not getting...
Put them in a Highlights magazine.
Boom. Do you know, compare the two pictures, find the difference, and then I'll be interested.
Yeah, but until then, find the difference.
I'm not gearing up to throw these people a party.
Like, well, this little Perseverance rover landed in what used to be a Delta... Okay, so picture the Mississippi Delta. This landed down in the bayou.
See, they make that up. How do they know it's a delta? They don't. They can't even prove definitively that there was ice there.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't. Oh. They make stuff up all the time. Like, their hypothesis all of a sudden becomes fact. You can't tell me you can definitively say that there's a delta in Mars. You just landed there for the first time a couple years ago. You don't know what's going on.
Anyway, Mars, some little Mars factoids for you. What planet from the sun is it? Do you know? What?
Fourth.
What are we?
Third.
And I only know that because the show Third Rock from the Sun.
Exactly, yes.
Mars has two
and times. And who, I mean, you know what? I always loved when I would know something because I watched TV, because people always said when we were growing up, you're not going to learn anything from TV. BS. Do you know how many Jeopardy answers I am able to get because I saw it somewhere along the way on TV? Impressive. So don't tell me you can't learn from TV.
And on that note, fuck you, Miss Willis. You said that I would never have a I wouldn't always have a calculator.
Right.
You were wrong as shit about that. I always have a fucking calculator, you dumb bitch.
With
sorry.
Two C's. You said you were ornery today, so we'll allow it.
I apologize, Miss Willis.
Mars has two tiny little baby moons. Like they're only 13 and 7 miles across. They would make for
that's what we need to focus on. Give me more baby moons.
We need
anything
more
baby
moons.
Baby Dale woohoo, baby Mars moons. I like that.
There's two baby Mars moons, 13 and 7 miles across, and it would be a great little Marine Corps outpost, I think. If you weigh 100 pounds on Earth, you only weigh 38 pounds on Mars. So fat bodies rejoice, Kyle put there in the sheet. Atmosphere, 98% carbon dioxide.
Wait, time out.
Navy chiefs are trying to get PCS to fucking Mars.
Yeah, I was just going to say, imagine if that was the new weight loss program in the military, you just get shipped to Mars.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, actually, I make weight on Mars. So if you think about it, that's going to be a Space Force. They're going to use Mars weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally Mars weight. Our cold weather and happy boots would be, our gear would be top quality up there.
Kate and I, we found some of those in Seattle.
We certainly did. The average Earth temperature, average temperature of the Earth is 57 degrees Fahrenheit. The average temperature of Mars is negative 81 Fahrenheit. So it is much colder there. On a nice day, the hottest it ever gets there is 86 degrees Fahrenheit. We reach 136 degrees Fahrenheit. Our coldest ever recorded, negative 126 Fahrenheit. Mars, negative 284 Fahrenheit. So it's much colder.
That's a guess, too. They don't have thermometers. It's a guess.
Why are you so skeptical and mean to Mars? I don't understand.
What? I mean, when's the last time? Every time, like mid-September when football first kicks off, especially in like Jacksonville or Miami, they'll have that little sideline temperature thing. When have you ever seen that in Mars? They don't know how hot or cold it is. They're using lasers.
I can see I can see Kyle dying inside as we slowly but surely.
They're using lasers, man. It's all just lasers. You don't even know.
Really? I mean, they just got to the point where I can shoot one of those little laser guns at my big green egg to show how hot it is. You're telling me that they can do that all the way to fucking Pluto? Come on.
Yes.
I don't buy that for a second.
Kyle's shaking his head yes.
Listen, Chaps.
I mean, it's difficult to lead a weapon at 500 yards. Like, if you're going to lead somebody. Mm. Imagine the lead you have to do to get a laser beam to fucking Pluto.
Right, because we're moving, Pluto's moving, it's all moving.
Even at the speed of light, you gotta think that takes 7 years to get there. I don't know.
I feel like I need you to tell me you're not the Godfather. Like, you know that scene in The Office where Michael's acting like, I need you to tell me you're just fucking with me because I can't look at you the same right now. This is heartbreaking.
Hold on, I'm gonna put, how many light years away is Pluto?
All right, while you're doing that,
you guys guess how far.
12 light years.
0.7.
Oh, it's definitely not 7 years. I was wrong. It takes Pluto is located around 263 light minutes away from us. It wouldn't take a year to reach it. This is the average distance between Pluto and us, and even at its further distance from us, it wouldn't take near a light year away. Wow. So I was way off.
All right.
But like 1 year, that's still, I mean, you turn on the lights and it takes a year to light up that room. You would never find what you need in your pantry. Never.
No. I mean, imagine all the dinners that would be ruined.
You, every time you guys start talking science, I genuinely want to die. Can we?
Yeah, I need to know who's driving off the road right now with rage.
You put this in the sheet, Kay. You did this to yourself.
No, yeah. Kyle put it on the sheet.
Yeah, that's hand up. My fault.
Yeah, that was Kyle, not me.
All right. Well, if you do end up going to Mars, maybe you should go with Can I Pro Gear. Can I Pro Gear has the finest backpacks in the world, and no one else can even come close. From a solid pack to easy, everyday going, everyday carry bags, Can I has a pack or a bag to fit your needs, even if you're going to Mars. I think they are the first actual sponsor here on ZBT that has Mars-proof bags, which is unbelievable. All their Can I bags come with a lifetime warranty, and right now Can I is offering free U.S. shipping orders on orders over $75. Can I also offers the ability to use Afterpay. You can split it up to 30. If it's over $35, you can do it in four easy payments. Shout out to all the PFCs who have all that money coming in. You can even afford these things, you poor bitches. Can I has been used all over the world and confirmed firsthand stories of their backpacks serving effectively in active war zones. I just got the olive drab one in this weekend. It is lovely. Pulled it out. I am going to be using that to carry all my stuff. Also, I've been getting rid of everything in my office, like going through. Having that where you need to get rid of stuff and like do a big clean out is so freeing. I'm just fucking tossing stuff left and right, left and right, left and right. And if it's important, I'm throwing it in my Can I bag. You can do the same thing if you go to caniprogear.com. It's spelled CANNAE ProGear.com. Use the promo code ZBT15 for 15% off and free shipping. Unbelievable deal. Make sure you go check that out. Let's move on to round number three. This one comes to us from Newsmax, and I can promise the listener we won't have very many stories that come to us from Newsmax, those crazy bitches that are like ONN or whatever the hell that other network is. Well, this dude, Greg Kelly, he's one of the hosts on there. I'll have to say he's pretty entertaining. Like the crazier I think the news stories and like how wildly outside the box you are, left or right, you got to be entertaining.
Oh, it's entertaining. Alex Jones, entertaining. Yeah.
Crazy as fuck. But if you put Alex Jones' podcast on Barstool's network and just had its satire above it, it would be the greatest show on our network by far. But because this person is being serious, it makes you go the other way. That's how this Greg Kelly is due. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on what they talked about, but here's the clip of Greg Kelly talking about President Biden's dogs.
Did you see the dog? I want to show you something I noticed. Doesn't he look a little rough? I love dogs, but this dog needs a bath and a comb and all kinds of love and care. I've never seen a dog in the White House like this. I remember Buddy. I remember Millie. I remember lots of dogs, but not a dog who seems, I don't know. I don't know how much love and care he is getting. Let's bring in the historians. I'm having fun with this, obviously, but I do want to talk about some stuff. Craig Shirley, Reagan biographer, presidential historian. Greg, welcome back. And Doug Weed, presidential historian, former advisor to George H.W. Bush. That's the White House where I remember Millie. Millie had like a staff and they really took care of her. Very beautiful dog. This dog looks like from the junkyard. And I love that dog, but he looks like he's not been well cared for.
No, not at all. Thank you for having us. No, he looks very dirty and disheveled and very unlike a presidential dog like Millie or Victory or something else in the past in the White House.
Now, listen, I understand there's going to be political differences in the United States. Each person is entitled to their own political proclivities. As far as I'm concerned, may a thousand blossoms bloom. But leave these fucking dogs out of it. Champ is like 8 years old.
He's 12.
And he's a German Shepherd.
You know,
he's 12. He's 12. He's going to have flyaway. Yeah. That's what it's called. Those little ruffs in his in his chest that he has, they're just little flyaways. You pick them off and they'll be fine. I will say, Joe needs to get a Furminator. Joe needs to have a Furminator in the office. If you don't know what a Furminator is, it is the best dog brush known to man. Mm-hmm. If you want to get the undercoat and all that, get the Furminator. Somebody, Jill, Joe, one of the kids, one of the Secret Service agents, somebody needs to get a Furminator. He does need a little brushing. That's not his fault. Don't go on a national TV program and say that he is mangy. How dare you? First of all, mange is a medical diagnosis, Greg Kelly. I bet you're not a veterinarian. You're not able to make that diagnosis.
Mm. Well, a bunch of celeb people got riled up right away in defense of these dogs. Of all people, Keith Olbermann was one of them.
He's a wacko.
Keith Olbermann's fired up about anything. He's a fucking wackadoo.
Keith Olbermann, he used to be great. For those of us who remember him from the old SportsCenter days.
It's so disappointing, right?
It's such a bummer. But the extent to which he gets upset here, it cracked me up. He's like, quick message to Greg Kelly. Fuck you. This is a 12-year-old German Shepherd, a senior dog, and you're insulting his appearance? He's in better shape than any of you and smarter than all of you combined. Okay, Keith, calm down.
See, he took it too far. Like, I love Champ. Smarter than everybody combined. That's quite a stretch.
That's a little bit of a stretch. That's a little aggressive for what he said there. But yeah,
Ready to yawn big time.
Yeah.
So with Keith Olbermann, my favorite Keith Olbermann quote that he would do would be like, it'd be April 2nd, for example, and Fred McGriff, the first baseman for the Atlanta Braves, would hit like two or three home runs. Like, so let's say he hit three home runs and he would say he hit three home runs today, which if it was on opening day, which means that he's on track to hit 384 home runs this year, which would be a record.
Yeah. Like that. He was one of the first guys to be doing crazy stuff like that. And it was so dry, but very, very smart and hysterical.
Former guest Kenny Mayne.
Never would have guessed that Kenny Mayne would be a ZBT guest, but there he was. I don't understand. I think this is how warped people's brains are now. They think taking shots at the dog in a way is taking a shot at Biden, like as if the dog cares at all what you think of him.
And I will say the fact that they did this to the German Shepherd and not those pussy ass dogs of the Obamas.
Yeah.
Portuguese water dogs, yeah. They look like little sissies.
Yeah, at least these guys look like they've been around the block. They're a little tougher.
Is sissy a problematic term now? Can you say sissies?
It's not great, but you can. When the Clintons were in the White House, our family went down there for the day and did like the whole DC tour. And we got to do a tour of the White House. And I was in middle school, I think. And all I wanted was to see Socks. That was the Clinton's adopted cat, Socks. I was so obsessed with that cat. And as we're walking around, I'm like, the only thing my eyes were peeled for all day. And I was almost in tears when we left because I didn't get to see Socks. I was like, this was a waste.
You know what would be really funny, Kate? If, say, because the Biden said that they were going to adopt a cat when they were in the White House too, that they were going to get one. So imagine you're in the Oval Office. Your old ass Biden sitting behind a resolute desk, being 78 years old. You're having meetings with the world leaders. Like, let's say Merkel's there. You have Macron there. You have Justin Trudeau's there. And then all of a sudden, you hear that automatic cat litter box, like how it scratches across because the White House cat took a dump in there and it's got to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe's just like, excuse me, everybody. It's just a 30-second cycle. So if we just want to wait 30 seconds.
That's work for you. Always going.
You know what I noticed about President Biden in this clip, though, that was really refreshing to see was that he was wearing pants that weren't parachutes and just so enormously huge. They would actually tailored to his leg and his body that they didn't look ridiculous. So I'm really pumped
about that. It's strange that Biden's almost already in like year 7 of his presidency mode. Like he's already out on like the White House lawn wearing jeans and like a vest.
Yeah.
He's just real casual with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, his give a crap meter is pretty low in terms of he cares about what the people think about him, I think. Because he's already been there for that one full presidency. So I don't know if that will affect him overall. And also, is he almost already a lame duck? Because hasn't he said he's only going to do one term?
He hasn't, but he should.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Like, that's what I would do. If I was, like, political talk, if I was him, I would know that I'm 78 years old and the likelihood of me getting elected again would be incredibly small. Mm-hmm. So I would do every single thing that's important to me and not give a fuck about what anybody else thought. I would just do what I thought was right, no matter what the political fallout's going to be in the future. Just mm-hmm. do what you think is right. You are in the only, you're the only people that are in that position. Realistically, he's going to die pretty soon after he leaves it.
Yeah, which is sad to think about, because who
unless
wants to
he's
die?
Like a Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Right.
Still kicking. Or a Bob yeah. Dole.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bob Dole. Colonel Bob Dole, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Bob Dole, 99.
All right, don't make fun of dogs.
Yeah, don't right. make fun of dogs. Also, don't make fun of people that are dieting, especially if they're doing with our friends at Trifecta. It's the best meal prep on earth. All the meals are created by chefs and nutritionists to help you get what you need to get in the best shape of your life. They make meal plans prep not suck. That's honest to God true. Like, I got a big delivery of it, and having that over quarantine season was amazing. Even though you're supposed to use like a microwave or anything like that, I dumped it out of there, put it in a pan, and I had a gas stove and heated it up, and everything tasted great. I had some nice meals, even during the height of cold, which having when it's 45 degrees in your house and being able to dump a little thing of rice and black beans and shrimp and having like a hot meal makes being cold so much. There's no better time to have a hot meal than when you're super cold or you've been cold all day. And this makes it super easy to do that. It saves time. If you're working all the time, if you're in the barracks and you're tired of going to the chow hall and all that kind of stuff, make sure you check this out, because right now you can get 40% off your meal prep with the promo code zero. Go to trifectanutrition.com/zero for this exclusive offer. It's a great thing to do to have nice meals. And if you're struggling with portion size, if you're a big fatty and you are struggling with portion size, go to Trifecta Nutrition. You can get those. They're going to give you the portion size that you need so you don't shove food down your gullet so you end up with a big old gut and fail your PT test.
I've been using the air fryer Cons got me for Christmas to make them 10 minutes. They're perfect in 10 minutes in the air fryer. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And it would probably taste better than microwave, because anytime you can use an air fryer, it's always great.
It's been fantastic. So no complaints there, I got to say. And it makes me feel like I'm doing something good for the baby. Like, look at me. Yeah. I put the chocolate bar down and now I'm eating this. Mm. It's good food. Good stuff.
All right, let's talk about Nazis in round number four. What do we got, Kate?
For David Rosa from Task and Purpose. Folks, there's one less Nazi in the United States after Immigration and Customs Enforcement, aka ICE, deported a 95-year-old former concentration camp guard living in Tennessee, gave him the Auf Wiedersehen to Germany on Friday.
See, I think ICE is one of those, the most like contentious government agencies that there are. Like, certain people like them, certain people hate them. I think no matter what, you're booting Nazis out of the United States.
We're all
in that
cool
moment, everybody's like, good job, ICE. Way to
yeah.
go.
We're behind you on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Friedrich Karl Berger, a German citizen, once served in the concentration camp network at Neuengamme in North Germany, where more than 50,000 prisoners were killed. Berger's remover demonstrates the Department of Justice and law enforcement partners' commitment to ensuring the U.S. is not a safe haven for those who have participated in Nazi crimes against humanity, said Acting Attorney General Monty Wilkinson. Basically, and he goes on to say, it's the 75th anniversary of the Nuremberg convictions. This case shows that the passage of even many decades will not deter the department from pursuing justice on behalf of the victims of Nazi crimes. So basically they're saying, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if it's been 74, 75 years. We're still looking for you and we're still coming for you.
You know what that's called?
What?
That's called the Lieutenant Aldo Rain Doctrine. Like, that's what he believed in, where he would carve a swastika into somebody's head. And normally I would be against that type of thing. The Nazis deserved it.
They did. Like, they really did.
If you were a Nazi, if you wore the uniform, and even though there is a certain element of, I think if you were a Nazi, that's where you were born. Like, if you're in their army, like, you might not even know what the fuck you were doing at the time. Like, you're just part of like whatever you are. You still deserve that swastika carved into your head, no matter what.
I just watched that the other night, by the way. What a fantastic fucking movie. Anyways,
Christoph Waltz might be the best actor in the world.
So, so, so good. But Berger was investigated and prosecuted by human rights crimes experts from the Department of Justice and ICE during a two-day trial in February 2020. There, he admitted to guarding prisoners to prevent them from escaping during their dawn to dusk workday, on their way to work sites, and on their way back to their camp in the evening. Among the prisoners at Nieuwegein were Jewish people, Poles, Russians, Danes, Dutch, Latvians, French, Italians, and political opponents of the Nazis. Specifically, Berger worked at a sub-camp near Meppen, where prisoners were held during the winter of 1945 in atrocious conditions, were exploited for outdoor forced labor, often to the point of exhaustion and death. So, really, really not a great guy. The Nazis abandoned Meppen as British and Canadian forces advanced on the area towards March of 1945, but Berger helped guard prisoners during their forcible evacuation to the main camp, a nearly two-week trip which killed about 70 prisoners, so he was part of that too. The former guard also admitted he never requested a transfer and never tried to get out of doing that horrible duty, and he continues to receive a pension from Germany based on his employment in Germany, including his wartime service. The Justice Department has won 109 cases against Nazis since it launched its program to find them in 1979, and they've been found all over the place. There was a great the diaspora of Nazis, especially South America, but Ethiopia, yeah, Liberia,
like
Cuba.
In Chile, like they're all over the place. They went to Chile a shit ton.
Yeah.
After, I think that like having stuff like this is good. Like you can never get away from it. Like you, I right. think that this is something that you have to do. I actually watched a show last night. It was on 60 Minutes, and then 60 Minutes went into overtime, and I tuned in because I was just enthralled with it. Because a lot of the things that happened in Nazi Germany are happening in other places around the globe now. Like in China, they're doing genocide in China right now. Also in Syria, like where there was a guy who is a prosecutor who has spent his entire adult life prosecuting war crimes, prosecuting people in Nuremberg, and then going on to do like at The Hague as well. And he was saying he has prosecuted multiple Nazis in this way. It's kind of like this guy is going to be prosecuted. But he said that he could make the case that what Syria is doing, that he would have an easier time convicting Syria of war crimes than he even did Nazis.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Chaps. I got a text from a buddy of mine who's also a veteran last night, and he watched the same 60 Minutes, and he's predicting that NATO is going to go to war with Syria within 6 months because of what's going on there right now. So don't be surprised if you see that. But also, I just want to echo one point that you made. Also, the fact that this gentleman is 95 years old, he probably thought, okay, I'm good now. It's been long enough that they probably aren't looking for me. But the fact that we were looking for him, and we said, I don't care how old you are. We don't care how long ago it was. We're still going to prosecute you. It's fantastic. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's in part, German prosecutors are also on the hunt. They're the ones who have intensified their hunt for the last remaining Nazis before they die of old age. Nazi hunters estimated that a dozen could still be alive, but that's how few. Not a lot left, but they're still looking for them.
Good.
Still looking to bring them back. So.
But I think what you said about Germany is really interesting, too. One of my good friends here, she's from Germany, and she was telling us about the differences of how the American system of looking at your horrific past is versus Germany. She said in Germany, they pull no punches at all about Nazis, like, and what they did and how evil it was, because they're so scared of it happening again. And like they said, still, even though it's been 75 years, people think Germany, most people outside, their first inclination is to think of what the Nazis did, and they don't want to go back down that road. They constantly talk about it at school. They show the pictures of what happened, and they don't like wash it at all.
Right.
And she said that comparatively to the American school system, where you start calling it the war of Southern aggression or Northern aggression and shit like that,
well,
where you really try to change
it. It was the times, Chaps. You know, slavery was just like, the time. Like, they wouldn't do that in Germany. They'd be like, this is fucking
awful. They don't do it the same way. Yeah. They like go after it and say, this is never going to happen again, which I think is the correct. I mean, I had never, until I was in college, I had never heard that we had internment camps in the United States. Mm-hmm. Never. It's just not something that was talked about, that we put people on trains and put them in war camps, like, and would go across the West, and they were in hot areas. I never heard about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it's a dark time in our history that I think people aren't reticent to discuss because of how horrible that makes us
look.
Oh,
it's certainly not comfortable, but I think that you have to talk about it. Like, you have to say, this is where we were at We have to move forward and know what we did, like the atrocities of what we did. Like, imagine being somebody who was an Asian American that was living in the 1940s in the United States. Brutal. Like, yeah. Absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. Crazy. All right, let's move on to round number five. Here's some Bernie Higgins.
Yeah.
Right, so round number five, I saw this story floating around the old Reddit machine, and I thought it was great because there is certain aspects of men now that I think is different. I was actually talking to Feidelberg about it yesterday, where how uncomfortable is it to say Mussolini was hot as, or Stalin was hot as fuck?
Yeah. You don't want to say those words out loud because of what he did as a person. But objectively, if you just look at him as a person or just his appearance, yeah.
Stalin's sexy.
And
yeah.
There's also these sayings that we've always had, like, oh, you know, if he's got big feet, he's mm-hmm. got like a huge
cock.
Meaty cock with veins in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
At least girthy.
At least two veins probably as well. One kind of in a Y mm-hmm. shape. Mm-hmm. But coming from the bottom, real thick. Probably
blue. Right. Mm-hmm. Looks like a swollen kielbasa on a nice summer day by the lake.
Yes, exactly, chaps. Yes.
Without the grill marks.
But
a boiled kielbasa.
But there's really, you know, you'd think there's no way to really look at somebody.
He's got a boiled kielbasa cock, is what they say.
Huge one, a big old link. But there's no way to really look at somebody and say, oh, this person is good in bed. Well, the scientists over at the Sun UK, I beg to differ. They are saying that, as it turns out, bearded blokes, they did this whole big chart about men with these features are the best in bed, like a study. So beards, most attractive physical features, according to women, 73% say their best sexual partner had some kind of beard on their face.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, fellas, my goodness.
Right.
Because they make men look more mature, masculine, and dominant, and probably great with paper towels and cutting down trees. When it comes mm-hmm. to physical attraction, what we find attractive differs from person to person. But also brown eyes, guys. That was another one that people say is the jackpot. Do any of you, you all have beards, do any of you have brown eyes as well?
No, I have green eyes.
Oh,
gross. Anyway, they asked almost 5,000 women to list the physical attributes of men that they've had sex with and what was like the best sex, who had what attributes. Piercings. I could not disagree more. Wait. Hold on. I'm thinking about it for a second here. Piercings make up a third most common feature among women of what makes a man good in bed. Being classy don't make you good in bed. I gotta tell you.
That's fair.
You roll in the hay with a Delco union electrician who maybe has a gauge earring. You're gonna have a good
Prince Albert.
You're gonna have a good time, ladies. You're not gonna. It's not a keeper. No offense.
What about a Stairway to
maybe
Heaven?
Maybe a keeper for some, but maybe for some you just.
What's that ladder called? Jacob's ladder.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then what it's called when it's like pierced all the way up?
Yeah. That's. Oh. Uh huh. Okay. I'm just saying thanks. It's not. You know, you're not like I want to take this guy
imagine
home to my
like
mom.
Pissing's like a fucking water hose that has all kinds of holes in it, just going all over the place like a mister.
A lot of spray, like a golf course, an early morning dew. Meanwhile,
and I want to just mention, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on it. I feel like last night I made a really good point that I'm surprised that during blowjobs, pee doesn't come out because it feels like the penis could just be a fleshy straw.
Let me just say, your texts after 9 p.m. on the East Coast have continuously gotten weirder and weirder.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, also, broad shoulders, tattoos. They uh-huh. say these are signs of men who are like more masculine and might have more testosterone and better sex drive.
It's as honest to God describing me.
So as you sent this article last night, I'm reading the points that it's making, and I'm like, oh, now I know why Chaps wants to talk about this. He believes himself to have all of these attributes.
I mean, besides the brown eyes, broad shoulders. You mentioned it on the last episode.
You're built like a triangle.
Beard. Tattoos, yeah. Well, I mean, what else do you need, ladies?
Yeah, thick eyebrows is another one mm-hmm. that shows high sex drive.
I don't have those.
As well as this, small feet and bald heads made the list too. I've heard this before about bald men. God damn it, Chaps.
Mm-hmm.
I read this too about bald men, where if you are bald, It means you actually have so much testosterone that it made your hair fall out, but so that you're like super manly. Is like being bald is actually like a, usually they say bald guys, I don't like saying this because you are on the show and I wish that you weren't right now. Mm-hmm. They say that bald guys have like absolute hogs on them usually. So I don't know.
I mean, if you go back and listen to the episode with my friend Clark Johnson, he can confirm that. I mean,
God damn it. Anyway, but these are like, but I will say my favorite porn, male porn star, Owen Gray, he is none of these things really, besides the tattoos and the piercings. He is like a lanky, skinny, looks like you could beat him up. And he like, he's, crushes it. He's got a real hammer. So you never know. It's all. You never know. Anyway.
Yeah, these studies. So
put in the bottom what MOS would be the best lay to get with. What, we'll start with you, Cons. What do you think?
13 Bravo. Artilleryman.
Why? Make the case.
We're just used to carrying around heavy things all day and strong and masculine.
Ew. No.
No. Kyle?
No.
Whatever MOS has the most hate built into them, and it's not going to be infantry. They just, you know, they're weird, but like everyone who shits.
Corman?
Yeah, maybe Corman, or maybe like everyone in the Marine Corps makes fun of water dogs. Maybe the water dogs.
Yeah, water buffaloes.
Yeah, you know, they, no one respects them ever.
No,
in Okinawa,
they would. We had our shop, like our building was shared. It was canine and it was the water bubbas that were there. Their lives were fucking miserable, man.
And people forget they had to do that in the miserable. Army now, Pauly Shore was a water dog. Mm-hmm. And you saw what he was capable of.
That's right. So, that's right.
I would love to see in the Army now Bobby Boucher crossover.
I see what you're doing there. That would work.
Yeah,
that would work.
Yeah, a little water boy action.
Just tackles all the Taliban in the 25th year of the Afghan War.
Every night. Yeah, I have drone footage of that dude going up a mountain.
I'll start writing it tomorrow. I feel like that's perfect, actually.
Mm-hmm. I bet you infantrymen are actually probably the worst. I'm just going to say it. To all you infantrymen and women listening right now, sorry.
You got bad cocks.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Well, you're probably too tired. You're probably like, not tonight. I would say whoever docks that hose on the one plane into the other plane.
Aerial refuelers.
Okay, here's the scenario.
Right.
Remember when you were a kid and the gym class gave you those, like, they weren't quite skateboards, but it was like a square on four wheels?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I was so good at that game.
Not you guys.
Fingers absolutely annihilated.
Not you guys. Yeah. But say I'm with an aerial refueler, and he gets home from work, and I'm laying on one of those with, I got a pair of fake wings on, and I scoop myself across the living room floor. I'm rolling across, and I'm like, you better get the refueling hose out. You know, like
what
with
the fuck.
This is fucked up.
This took a turn.
No.
I didn't want it to take. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to use elementary school examples.
Okay, well, when we went to the Air Force Academy, they had them too.
Yeah, you should have went with that instead of kindergarten. You're going to be a mother, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, really. Okay. Catherine, you'll be somebody's mother.
Okay.
Gosh. Clean it up.
I thought mine was, I said canine just because we do it doggy style.
Right. No.
Oh, Dad. let's move on to a little bit of save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you while your face is red.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I got nothing.
All right, awesome. Kyle.
When we were talking about the round about the Nazi, it made me think of a book. It's called D-Day Through German Eyes. And it's this guy wrote it after the war. He was a German journalist before and during and after. And he interviewed a bunch of the people on the Atlantic Wall while they were preparing for the invasion and all that. And then he caught up with the ones that had survived and interviewed them again to see, you know, what everything was like now. And it was really interesting to hear. A lot of those guys on the Atlantic Wall weren't German. They were kind of press ganged into service. And just to hear their experiences, because we don't hear that at all from their perspective, which, you know, why would we? But it was interesting. One guy said he had never seen hate like that in someone's eyes as a British soldier climbed into their pillbox. And then as soon as he surrendered, he said it just melted away. And they were about ready to kill him, and then they offered him like tea and biscuits like 20 seconds later. And it was just a really interesting read. Kind of makes you think about the different perspectives and consider. I'm not saying Nazis are good, but these guys were on the Atlantic Wall, they weren't necessarily Nazis. A lot of them were Russians that were captured and forced to be there, or Poles, or anybody really. I mean, they basically had a slave army on the wall.
Yeah, that reminds me of the one gentleman in Band of Brothers who said, I forget who it was, I'm sorry, but he said, you know, I couldn't help but wonder if times were different and I had met this gentleman that I'm fighting against, if we wouldn't have been good friends, if he liked to fish and to hunt, and I liked to fish and to hunt, and we could have been real good pals, but because we're on different sides and we're just following orders, we're trying to kill one another. So
I said that a million times about, like, if we got invaded like we did Iraq, you better believe I'd be planting IEDs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It would be.
All right, I gotta go because I have a psychology appointment, so I'll give mine. I don't have any. Here's a sound of the retreat after Cons give his. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, I hate that I have to say this, but I know we didn't actually film a movie on Mars. I feel like some people probably thought I was being serious.
I don't believe we actually filmed a movie on Mars.
So
I'll cut this so that you get all the nasty DMs.
Yeah, whatever. And then lastly, it's with Barstool, it's always, I think, still cool when certain things happen and certain people come by. And the video on Sunday of Troy Aikman, who I really idolized growing up as a quarterback, and I wore 8 because Troy Aikman wore 8, and I wasn't a Cowboys fan per se, but just really liked Troy Aikman. To see him say he wants to meet Dave, and he really respects everything that Dave and Barstool is doing, and Dave has, you know, giant balls. Like, I just thought that was pretty cool to see. So, Troy Aikman, if you're around, I'm happy to have a catch with you. So that's all I got. Sound that retreat.